Satsang with Maitreya, August 3rd, 2002.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the mission of Maitreya. Satsang room. This is Maitreya from the mission of Maitreya. We will be with each other for the next 2 hours, and we will go through the basis of the mission and our teachings, and how God has been sending the revelation of eternal divine path in meal peace or in seven revelation from last 6,000 years, and now the whole revelation is revealed to humanity and explained how each of the religions of the world are a part of a greater truth. And then we see that whole revelation, we realize how God truly exists and is in control and has been guiding humanity to this point of history, and how human again is being called for a great evolutionary leap to a point of realizing that they are one in God and in a spirit. They are from the same source, and there is no separation between them, and they should start looking at each other as children of God and a part of the universe, and realizing each person as a part of themselves, not separate beings, and no title or no limiting words should be limiting them, as I am this race, I am this gender, I am from this place, you are from that place, and but we are all from God, and we are His spirit. And this is amazing revelation, that if anybody has even the smallest spirit of God in them, they will see the truth and see the vision and realize, yes, that is what God was doing to this point, and it makes a lot of sense. And since it makes a lot of sense, and it has been prophesied to come, and it has been foretold to come, therefore it is from God and is the truth, and I am a part of it, and I know in my own soul, in deepest part of my being, that yes, I want to see this is accomplished. And that's what this mission is all about, really. We are calling the elects. We are calling people who have been called for this mission for many lifetimes, and they have been meditating and realizing, you know, that God is a spirit and is in each man and woman and child. And look at every woman, man, and child as that spirit and oneness. So, you have come to a great room and great place to receive this amazing revelation. And not only that, but every questions are answered, every possibility that you have been confused about any matter in the subject of religion and religions and the differences, they are unified here. And if you really read our teaching and see it is supported with the prophecies and everything that God has told that will come to man, you will eventually realize that it has no there is no chance that it is not from God. And therefore, if it is from God, this is the last revelation of God to humanity, and therefore the humans are in the verge of becoming great nation, not only human and earth, but the whole universe realizes its oneness and will completely forego the all concept of separation and bring the unity to the whole man and humanity. And if you are one of the elects, of course, you can see the greatest sign, and right away you realize, yes, that is beautiful, that makes sense, that has a lot of truth in it, and of course, as I said, much, much more truth has been revealed to humanity, and we invite everybody, go, test the spirit, read the revelation, understand the teaching, see the vision, and then realize that, yes, the truth has come to humanity, and this is the only way to unify man and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the unity is here and is with us. Of course, I have explained the basic of our teachings many, many times, and in these days when I give satsang, of course, I usually go over them, and they are each time different, and explain and reveal different aspect of the greatest sign and the eternal divine path. And the greatest sign, of course, is a yantra, is a crystallized graphic of our teachings. And I received the basic teaching of the greatest sign when I was visiting Chicago in the Baha'i Temple. And after that, of course, the revelation of the greatest sign started coming to me from 1977 to 1982. And by 1982, it took around 5 years to recognize it, realize it, put them together, and bring the whole revelation to manifestation. And in 1982, in the spring of that year, we reached out to humanity and published the holiest of the holies. And since then, I've been giving the satsang about the great sign and this revelation to anybody who wanted to listen. And there is no discrimination, there is no one who wants to listen, we will hesitate to tell them about the greatest sign and the eternal divine path, because that is what our mission is. Every man and woman and child should hear this revelation at least once. When we give this revelation, it's up to them and God what they're going to do with it. We are done with them, because the work of the messenger is to give the message. But the moment they give the message, they're done. It's up to the person who received the message to go and receive how truth that message is. And there is no doubt this is the truth, because it has been backed up with every ounce of revelations and prophecies, therefore, and also that it makes sense. It makes so much sense that, you know, if you are a sensible person, you have no choice than say, yes, it makes sense. So, the basic of our teaching, of course, is the greatest sign, and you can find the greatest sign in our website. The first thing you see in maitreya.org is the graphic that is animated, and it is it's a blue background, which means complete unmanifested world, and then you see a dot appears. That dot is what Bob used to say, I am the dot, I am that beginning. And that is what the scientists call the Big Bang. Of course, actually it wasn't really a Big Bang, it evolved in a much slower way than suddenly, you know, exploding the way it is believed in. But there was, of course, some movement in the universe, and it started to moving and going away from the balanced state of the universe. Therefore, the balanced state or a stable state in the universe is that beginning before the creation or Big Bang. So this universe, anything after that, is temporary. It is not permanent. It is not the essence. Therefore, that's why in the manifested world, we see everything deteriorates. They become spoiled, they become destroyed. Nothing is permanent, because we are not living in the natural, real state of creation, which was the state before the that dot of beginning. Therefore, we are living in a relative truth, not the absolute truth that is not what we are living in, and many people take it as the real truth and become very attached to it, and then of course they become unhappy or they don't understand why the things change and why their life is not always stable and steady. Of course, the more you become closer to God and the more your life is based on the reality of this universe, your life become more steady and stable, and you will not go to the up and down of the life that many people go through. Therefore, that beginning dot is when the first awakening of the spirit starts, and that is the first desire of universe that went out of the balance. Of course, that dot evolves itself to the I Ching, and it eventually explodes as the lotus tika into the universe, and the chaos starts, and in the chaotic state, God, or that unifying force, the spirit, realizes, you know, the part of him is not, you know, well, you know, something happened to him, something went out of the balance, and you know, the way it used to be. That is why God sends his spirit to that chaos, and that the spirit goes through the eternal divine path and eventually realizes that in order to return to God, every man, woman, child, and unit consciousness have to go through the eternal divine path. When he projected his spirit through the chaos, the first thing he realized was that, you know, he doesn't know himself. He's absolutely in the hand of the chaotic forces around himself, and got lost soul, and become a lost soul. So he started meditating on his ups and downs, and realizing that why this thing happening to him. Therefore, he started awakening his spiritual forces, realizing what is wrong with me, that I cannot be happy, or I cannot understand what is going on. And that became the first step in the eternal divine path, know thyself. Okay? To know thyself is to know God. Self and God are one. There is no separation. You already are one with God. The only thing keep you from God is your ego. Ego is the separation of the between man and God, you know, or woman and God, or child of God. And therefore, you first try to awaken your spiritual forces. And that is exactly what the mystical paths are. Mystical paths are teach you know thyself. You know, come up, you know, from your unknowingness and come to the knownness and realize who you are, where you came from, where are you going, the question everybody has, you know, of themselves. Who am I? You know, what is this life? Why, you know, it doesn't give me happiness, you know. If I think with a material thing, I will be happy. But the more, material thing we have, the less happy we are. Okay. But why? Because we are directing the infinite longing of our soul, which we want to be with infinite, to the finer things. And finer thing, of course, never quench the thirst for infinity or limitlessness. And that is why we long for. We long for limitlessness. We long for the essence. We want to go back home. And of course, those who want to go back home, you know, are those they are called for return, to turn around, be baptized. So we can see that he went through that, and eventually he knew himself a little bit and started teaching what he learned to the people around him, to the unit consciousness that would listen to him. And he create a group or a few unit consciousnesses who came and became close to him, and the rest were still lost in the Maya and their, you know, and not knowing themselves. And therefore, he eventually realized, you know, in order to create a great progress for unit consciousness, just an environment is necessary that they can meditate. They can awaken their spiritual forces. They are not in Maya. Therefore, he realized the creation of the communities is very important, and in the communities is where people progress and help each other to progress in a greater degree. And then, of course, he realized in order to create such a communities, people should not be self-centered. And always say what's for me, give my, all the attention to me, come here and put me in the pedestal. I am the one you have to look up to, you know. But they realize, no, God is everybody, and we are a part of Him, and we help each other, and we become the brothers and sisters, not their masters. And the person who attached them to myself, and instead of taking them to God. And the moment, of course, the teacher, the person attached people to themselves, they are in the way, because the way is to go to God. And if they make people some attached to them, then the people become so interested in the bridge, they never go over the bridge to the other side, which is God. Therefore, not being self-centered or not having ego is the next step in order to create the comings of light. And that's, of course, we call it sacrifice, but really it is much more broader, just word sacrifice in a way of you just give up everything and then you sacrifice, you know, for the comings of light. It means really not being self-centered. It means that ability to share, ability to see yourself, ability to be discerning and sitting back and looking at yourself and say, how can I improve myself? Unless you believe you are already perfect. If you are already perfect, of course, nobody can tell you that, you know, how you can improve yourself. Then, of course, you are the perfect. If you are the perfect, what are you doing here in the body? Because if you are perfect, you are in heaven. You have to be one with God. And then if you're not one, then there is improvement always there. And you have to accept that. And if in the community somebody points something to you that make you more perfect, you should say, great, yes, I don't have any ego. I'm here to progress. Therefore, I accept it. I meditate on it. I sit back, and eventually you become more perfect. And that is great. Then you will become more one with everybody else and with God. Therefore, the next step is the not being self-centered and ability to share and sacrifice. That is, of course, he realized that if you don't do that, then everyone says, what is for me in the community? He never can create an environment that everybody can progress. Of course, he became very attached to that community that he created. He realized the most important thing to him is that community, then everything out of it, you know, kind of a mentality, and us and them, the separation that existed as, you know, we are better than them, we progress, we are in a path of returning to God, and we are ahead of everybody else. You know, those people are lost souls, we have no interest on them and all that. He realized also that he puts a lot of effort, and when nothing happens, no new people come or no people join the community, he became very upset about it and became depressed. But whenever he starts seeing progress, he became elated. Either of these with depression and elation is related to ego, and of course we are trying to get rid of ego, aren't we? Because if there is ego, there is separation. And therefore, he realized that the best way is to do the job, do the work, and surrender the result to God, and say, okay, God, I tried my best, you know, I did, you know, whatever I could, you know, but result is yours. Yeah, I don't want the result, I don't want to be attached to it, I'm completely free from it, I have done my job, and you have the result. If any result is good, it's yours. If it's not good, you know, I have to look at myself, see why it wasn't good, and improve myself again. Of course, later on he realized even greater than surrendering the result is submission. Submission means God is doing the work through me. Of course, when God does something, He's perfect. He does a perfect job. If we do something and it's not perfect, therefore we have come in the picture and we have blocked the God to do His perfect job, and therefore we have not done a perfect job, and the problem is there. And therefore, if there is a problem, we have to look at ourselves, not blame other people. That is the path of progress. You know, if there are energies or impurities that affect us outside of ourselves, those impurities affect us because there are some impurities in ourselves. And we have to look at that impurity and say, what is in that impurity that makes me angry, makes me confused, makes me not be able to handle the situation? You know, if there's a purity there, you know, and you are connected to God, God can handle that impurity and deal with it in such a way that that impurity cannot affect you or others. Therefore, in every situation, we have to look at ourselves, you know, to see what is the out inside me that something outside affects inside. And that is, again, the path of progress, the path of becoming perfection. And of course, as your situation changes, you become more evolved with the mission and you become a teacher of the mission, the more, of course, expected from you. The more your position is, the more responsibility you have. If you are a teacher, a person who wants to, you know, preach the teaching of God to humanity, you have to be more open to progress and become perfect. Therefore, he realized that he submit to God. If people got to submit to God, he surrenders the result to God, and therefore he's not attached to any result, and that is becoming one with God. If you are submissive to God and God always do things through you perfectly, you are not attached to the result, and God and you are one. And that is the greatest realization in a spiritual progress, that realizing God is the doer. We are not. We are just a channel for Him. As far as we think we are the doer, He's the enjoyer. Sister said, look at my little child. He thinks, you know, he is doing it. And of course we stumble, we, you know, crumble, we get depressed, we jump up and down and we say, God, where are you, you know? Why are you giving me all so much trouble? And we just laugh because he and you are one already. And then, of course, the moment you say, oh no, God, you are the doer, I'm just the enjoyer here, then you become enjoyer, become observer, you become, sit that back, you see, it happens. Things happen around you without you doing or anything too much involvement, and God does it for you, and He does a perfect job, and your life becomes a dance of Krishna. Therefore, you can see submission is the greatest realization and achievement in the spiritual progress. Of course, still, you might become attached to the very small part of the universe. Say, okay, I'm just going to help my community. I'm going to just help my family. I'm going to just help my, you know, city. I'm going to just help my state, my nation. Even Earth, you are again narrowed to a small portion of the universe, and you only can shatter that narrowness and attachment by becoming a universalist. A universalist is a person who realizes that their home is universe, God is their father and mother, and the rest of the universe are their struggling brothers and sisters, and therefore they shatter any connection to any small part of the universe. They become free of any narrowness of the mind. And in that state, of course, they can look at anybody, anywhere, and they say, yes, the same God in me is in them. How can we create an environment that everybody progresses physically, mentally, spiritually, create the communities of light, help them to know themselves, and eventually they become one with God, and we become one with God, and we become one, and we create an environment free of all these ego separation and destruction that we have on Earth. And this is the message every human should know, realize, by realizing that we really don't need too much, you know, to live, and sharing more. Eventually everybody have physiological and safety needs been taken care of, and of course science is progressing. We can reach to a space, even have greater standard of living for everybody, instead of being afraid we lose our standard of living and therefore we have to just protect ourselves. No, the universe is infinite, and there is so much resources out there that everybody can have, you know, at least a minimum to transcendent God and progress. So God has brought us to the verge of conquering the space, and the space is full of resources for everybody to progress. So God has shown us everything is coming together in this time and moment. The religions are unified, science have reached a point that it can progress and bring greater standard of living for everybody, and really we don't have to scratch each other's face and bring so much destruction because we are afraid, you know, we might lose something we have. Therefore, he went through this step of the eternal divine path, he awakened the spiritual forces, he realized that a community or group or people have to come together and share and create an environment that everybody practices. He realized not being self-centered and sacrificed is necessary to create such an environment. He then surrendered his resolve, the result of his action, to God, and eventually he let God come through and do the work through him, and he became a universalist. His five steps, really realizing it, really understanding it, really going deep in every step, you can see shatter every narrowness of the mind, every disease in human ego. The first step is to know thyself. You know, how many people know themselves? How many people truly look at themselves and say, okay, where is my strength, where is my weaknesses, where is my understanding of myself, of a being? Very few people. So that is the first step we have to teach the children from the very childhood. Look at yourself, meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, progress, become more perfect. The goal of the life is to become divine. The goal of the life is not just to have and be selfish and self-centered. And when the children realize that, of course, they put their priority correctly and they try to become divine. Divine is God. God is divine. That means you have to become God. You have to become perfect. And if a child knows that is the goal of the life, that becomes their priority. That becomes the goal of the life, to become divine. The goal is not to become a doctor. The goal is not to become a lawyer. The goal is not to become anything but divine. Of course, after you become divine, if you become a divine doctor, a divine lawyer, a divine, you know, whatever. So we can see the whole earth is, the teaching is upside down. Child from the very beginning is not taught that you have to become divine. That's why you are here. That is the goal of your life. So we can see that if we can create such an environment, the very beginning, the children can close their eyes and see, you know, the essence in themselves and realize that they are a part of God. And if they are a part of God, everybody else is a part of God. Therefore, there is no separation between them. And that will create a greater beings that will be coming, and they are already here, and we can see a lot of children that they are interested in greater things in life. So awakening of spiritual forces, then creation of the communities of light, then not being self-centered. They also understand about the conscious, subconscious, unconscious mind. You know, they realize the subconscious or ego is the problem. You know, we have problem because our subconscious mind, you know, runs our lives. And eventually when you realize what your subconscious mind is between you and God, you eventually overcome your subconscious mind, you are connected to God directly. They sacrifice, they learn how to sacrifice. Some people have a problem with the concept of sacrifice because they're supposed to be number one. The number one doesn't sacrifice, number one takes. You know? And that, how many people can be number one then? Very few people. And that is another problem is God, and they think this life is the reality, which is not. So they also surrender and submit to God and eventually become universalists. If you go through this five step, okay, when you realize your ego and you're not attached to the result of your action, you're free. You don't get depressed. You don't create ego and elation. And then you become universalist, you shatter every knowledge of the mind of, you know, separation between beings that we see on earth right now happening, and is going toward a great destruction and confrontation between cultures and people, and eventually humanity realized that, you know, this is not the way to go. You know, destruction and wars never, ever brought, you know, any joy to anyone. At the end, everybody said, well, sorry, really, we start wars. We shouldn't have done it at all. So human going through this thing, and that five step make you become an elect. Elect is the person who realizes the eternal divine path. They don't have big egos. They do not always think what is related to me, but what is related to the good of the humanity and God, and therefore they direct their life toward that end. And this is the people have been created and being in the process of perfection to this point, and this revelation is directed to such beings that see the eternal divine path, the revelation of the unification of our religion, and they will come and say, yes, that makes sense, let's do it, let's bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And they become the educators of man and teach this to human little by little, and they eventually also see the vision clearly. And of course, he, in that point, after become elect, reaches pure consciousness, or returns to the Spirit of God and become one with Him. That's what the Bible said, and there was light. And God saw the light is good. God looked at the eternal divine path that His Spirit went through and said, this is good. This is a good path. This is beautiful. And He blessed it, and that the Spirit returned to God as the one who went through the eternal divine path for the first time. He became the first begotten Son, Christ, Adam, the first teacher of man. He came back to the chaos and brought the eternal divine path to humanity and tried to help them out to go back to God. But of course, they were in a state of a spirit. It was hard for them to, you know, communicate in that state in a greater degree, and also every unit consciousness still had a lot of spiritual powers, and they will misuse that and abuse that and will not listen very well. Therefore, God decided to create the creation. And that is when we see in Genesis, there are days, and in each day God created a part of the creation in an evolutionary process. God created the universe in an evolutionary process. So evolution is really created by God, and that is the process of testing and coming to a point that realizing one way works, one way doesn't work, the way doesn't work, they are destroyed. You know, just like dinosaurs, the many branches of dinosaurs died out. Few of them, of course, went and became birds, and now we see them as the birds flying around. Really, the birds are the remaining of the dinosaurs. They're really very distinct the way, you know, they thought they have. So, in the evolutionary process, human and the unit consciousness progress back to a point, of course, if you read though, it explains what happened before the flood of Noah. More and more, the human lost their connection with the spiritual world, and they become more and more worldly. Until the flood of Noah, God even closed the third eye and gave human two eyes. And two eyes see the world outside and desires it and becomes so attached to it. And human thinks this is the reality. This is not the reality. This is a relative truth. That is why it is not satisfactory. Anything out there, will not give you the satisfaction. Satisfaction is within you. Now, when you meditate, awaken your spiritual process, and you reach a point, then you are a spirit and a spiritual and progress and learn your lesson, then God opens the spiritual world to you, and you suddenly see, wow, what happened? I thought these two eyes are the truth. And they realize they are not the truth. The truth is greater than these two eyes, and you see there is a spirit behind this world, and God exists, He is in control, He is guiding the humanity and the world and universe, and is the most powerful being, even is more powerful, the most powerful, you know, nations or, you know, bomb or anything. And He is in the process of bringing humanity together, and human no choice but come together. And now, do you want to be a part of this process? Do you want to be a part of this coming of this event that is coming, or you want to hold in a little ego and say, no, I will be hanging into a little ego and I won't want to be a part of this wonderful thing coming? So it's a decision that all of us, we have to see the vision, we have to see what God is doing, what God has done, and say, yes, I accept God's way instead of my own little way and understanding. And this is the message. Of course, later on, in the last 6,000 years, God sent the eternal divine path as different religions. All the mystical path, Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Kabbalah, the mystical Christians, Sufis, many, many, many different paths that teaches know thyself is the first step that the first begotten son realized. You have to know thyself. You have to meditate. You have to close your eyes. You have to close these two powerful senses in order you become more familiar with greater senses which is within you, which is the spiritual senses. And therefore, close your eyes, meditate. We do have some meditation classes in the Palkot and also in the website that teaches you how to meditate, how to go away from this world to God, and how to know thyself in a greater degree, how to fill yourself with the light of God instead of the light of man, you know, instead of darkness of man, actually, I should say, you know, and the light shines in the darkness, and most of the people know not. And that is what meditation does. It shows you there is a light, there is a third eye, there is a more greater things to know. So meditate, close your eyes. And that is the essence of teaching of all mystical paths. Let God come through. Let be filled with the spirit, with the light, instead of, you know, always pursuing outside thing. And of course, after you do that, the second step is joining the comings of light, creation of the comings of light, you know, bringing the comings of light, you know, together. The goal of the meditation and the spiritual path is not to have the spiritual experiences, you know. That is not, you know, God didn't say, you know them by their your experience. He said, you know them by their fruit. And where the fruit comes? In the comings of light, that's where the fruit comes. You know, God didn't say, you know them by their psychic power. He didn't say, you know them by the channeling they do. None of them. What did God say? What the scripture says? You know them by their fruit. Therefore, if you want to be in the sight of God, listen to the word of God. Don't listen to the word of man. You know, become more familiar with God's word, with God's revelation, with God's scriptures. And what does He want you to become? Go toward that word, go toward that spiritual thing if you want to become a spiritual person. If you don't, of course, you have a choice. And that's the wonderful about God is God gives you a choice. Do you want to go toward God or do you want to go toward world? So the second step is to create the comings of light. And that's the Old Testament, Old Testament. God is trying to find a people that accept Him as God and His laws as His laws. And they progress, you know, in being with God. And the Old Testament is the essence of the Old Testament is the creation of the comings of light. Of course, Christ comes, what does He do? He sacrifices Himself for His ideal. He goes all the way to cross. You know, He and the Father are one. He has no ego, He has no subconscious anymore. God comes through perfectly through Him, and He has the sharpest teaching with the double sword from His mouth coming out, cutting through ego, absolutely. You know, if your eyes offended you, you know, plug it out, throw it away. You know, if your hands offended you, if any sense offends you, meditate on it. Why is offending you? Why is it pulling you toward it themselves? Great teaching, great realization, great, you know, gospel to humanity. You know, become perfect as the Father in heaven. That is the goal. It means you can be perfect. Some people say, no, you cannot be perfect. It's impossible. Hey, Christ says right there, you can be perfect. Be perfect as the Father. It means you can do it. It is not something you can say, no, we cannot be perfect. You know, we can just accept, you know, Jesus died for us and that's it. We can be as unperfect as we want and then we're going to go to heaven. No. Dear Jesus or Isa or Christ, you have to become perfect like the Father. So that is what He wants you to become. And the way of perfection is the eternal divine path. Now we know how to become perfect. Awaken our spiritual forces, grace from the promise of life, our being self-centered, get rid of our subconscious. Of course, the next step is surrendering the result to God and be submissive to His will and God. And that is the message of Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, actually means to surrender and submit to God. And that's one step. It's not the religion, it's not other people out other side of the world that they are all terrorists. It's the message of God to humanity. You have to overcome all these, you know, concept and propaganda or the things that have made us being separate from each other. You have to realize it is the word of God who came, you know, to Prophet Muhammad, which has prophesied, and God chose Ishmael also that he will, you know, produce also a prophet, which is also in, it's explained in Dover very clearly. So we can see that, okay, that is another message of God. Of course, all of this you have become universal. You have shattered every narrowness of the mind, any separation from yourself, from the rest of the universe. And that is, of course, the message Baha'i and Bab. Therefore, we can see the mystical path, Old Testament, Judaism, or Hebrews, New Testament, Christianity, Islam and Baha'i faith all are unified in this message and in this teaching and this revelation and tells humanity, God is telling humanity, and that's what I was doing. I was sending each piece of the eternal divine path to humanity as a religion. Now it's been put together, now you are one. This is the message that now humanity has to listen, to be taught, learn, and come to grip of it, and eventually realize, well, there is no such a thing as you just meditate and drop into the ocean and become one and that's it. There is no such a thing, we are the chosen people. There is no such a thing, we are the only way or we have the last word. But there is such a thing as the eternal divine path that makes you become perfect, become an elect, reach pure consciousness. Therefore we can see that God is perfect, His ways are perfect, this mission is perfect, this revelation is perfect, and you have to work on yourself. Before complaining about anybody else, first perfect yourself. Then you have gained the right to complain about someone else. If you have not reached the point of perfection, you haven't gained the right to say another person is not perfect. So therefore, you know, the first place we have to look for any imperfection is within ourselves, and working toward that perfection, realizing this vision, giving it to every man and woman and child and anybody who listens, and gather the elects together and let's create the fascinating body and eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And this is the way to do it. Okay? And this is not something that, you know, we can say just somebody made it up. We can't make it up. It's so vast, it's so wonderful, it's so powerful, there's so much truth in it. No man can make it. And no other man can use it as theirs. Only there is three ways to go to God. To know God, to know our teaching, to know the prophets that have brought this, and bring those three together and follow what is being revealed to you. And then you will be assured going back to the Godhead. So the message is clear. The revelation is very well, you know, revealed. It is backed up with the prophecies and many, many other things. God made this very clear this time. There is no doubt what this revelation is all about. And then he created internet and all this ability to communicate it to every man and woman very fast and very effectively. And those who come to the mission and receive the vision have all these tools to use. And of course, they are using it. So if you have any question about this mission, about this teaching, about this realization, about this truth, you can go ahead. Go ahead, Compassion. Suicide is kind of a telling God, you know.
I have a question about euthanasia and the suffering of the dying. And how is euthanasia that process? And what kind of guarantees do we have that with incarnation, reincarnation stuff is pretty moving? What kind of assurance do we have that we do
leave
this life, we're not coming back to this one?
In general, suicide is not recommended. You know, I don't want what you gave me, and therefore we do not recommend any kind of a suicide action. Euthanasia also is kind of a suicide. Also, it seems like we are helping a person from suffering, but maybe there is some karmic reason for that suffering. If we shorten that period of suffering, of course, we are depriving that person from going through that karmic suffering, and we are not helping very much. There is only maybe one place, if you know, in the case of an enemy coming close, and you know you will be losing, you know, a lot of information, or you do not want to, just like those Jewish people in Masada, that, and many times, many places, that they have been surrounded with enemies and they kill themselves because they don't want to be captured. Maybe that's the only place it is acceptable practice. And of course, you know, if somebody kills themselves, again, that is suicide, and that is not acceptable at all. How the reincarnation is, we know that is correct and true. First of all, it is in the scriptures. You know, there are many religions who believe in it. They have been living in it. They have seen the truth in it. They have seen how the reincarnation works in their lives. Even in Buddhism, they even choose their leader as the Dalai Lama, as the person is incarnated again and again, and they test that person to see if he really is the same person who came to the body and returned to life. And they choose him as the same leader. And it works, because, you know, they test that person, and that person usually chooses the items that they put in front of him, exactly the items he liked when he lived before. Of course, we can say, well, that can be a chance, you know, or statistically maybe it happens, you know, once in a while. But also it is in Bible, you know, Elijah is being incarnated as John the Baptist. He comes back in the womb of a woman, and Christ said he is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is Elias, or Elijah. So we can see it is even in our scripture, in the Bible. There are many other groups, like the Sufis, also believe that reincarnation is truth. And also there is life regression techniques that have been done with many people, and they have regressed to the state that they have realized who were they in the previous lifetimes. And then also there are people who have had dreams, and when they pursued it, they have realized that they have been somebody that in a previous lifetime, that things happened to them. And also in life regression, Some people start talking about the language they never knew in this lifetime, but they knew it in previous lifetimes, or they remember something happened to them 20 years ago, and they died in a fire or something, and they went and they checked the newspaper in that time, in another country, that person never was there in this lifetime, and they say, yes, in that newspaper such an event has been, you know, recorded, and so there's many, many evidence that it points out that reincarnation is correct, and especially if you meditate, eventually you might realize some of your previous lifetimes and realize who you were and how you came to this point you are in this lifetime. So there is much evidence about the reincarnation and return to many different lifetimes. And then also that makes sense, you know, because if God is just, He gives us many, many opportunities to come to this body and have different lives and eventually learn our lessons and progress. Or He gives us a lot of opportunities and we do not listen and we do not progress, and God eventually says, okay, look, you are not progressing, you are not listening, therefore I'm not going to incarnate you anymore. There's another, because there are billions of billions, infinite unit consciousnesses out there, they are longing and waiting for human body and to come here and learn the lesson. Those who do not learn the lesson, of course, they would be barred from coming back. And that's exactly where we are at this point of history in human life. You can see so many people on the earth, you know, this is a time of sundering again between those who will go to God and want to create the communities of light, bring the kingdom of heaven on earth and the golden age, and those who are not listening, they are selfish, they are self-centered, they have no idea about the communities of light, that they don't even like the communities of light, they don't want to bring the, you know, golden age, and of course, in this time will be judged and they will not be incarnated for a long time, but those will listen, will be coming back over and over and help to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. So you can see it makes sense, it is just, there is a lot of evidence for it, and also you eventually can recognize it in your meditation if you really deeply go inside, and many people have already realized they have been on earth, or deja vu, you know. There is a lot of things, suddenly we go someplace and say, oh, I think I've been here before, but I've never been here in this lifetime, you know. So that deja vu or remembrance of a memory that is lost can also be, you know, related to you have been there before. So all in all, you can recognize it yourself. There's a lot of evidence. It's a scriptural, and therefore it is true. I don't see, with all this evidence, how you can say, no, there is not incarnation. And to me, the most important is, God is just. God doesn't give you just one chance and put you in a situation you have no way to progressing and then judge you. He doesn't do that. You know, He gives you all kind of opportunity and you know, time and ways to progress, to change your ways. And eventually, of course, if you don't, you know, He says, okay, sounds like you're not getting it, therefore, you know, you're out. Go ahead, Compassion.
You make it sound like being incarnated or reincarnated back to this earth is a good thing. I sure hope there's something better. I'd like some assurance that I'm not coming back to this earth. You know, can you address that for me?
Yeah, sure, Compassion. It is a good thing if you come here and progress toward a spiritual thing and understanding and helping other people also to understand and progress. It is a bad thing if you come here and stay ignorant and continue in ignorance and die ignorance. So we can see, according to our teaching, actually, you cannot escape it. You will be incarnated over and over, and you have to progress and help other people to progress. Actually, in Bible, in Revelation chapter 3, God is very against those who are lukewarm and they think they have progress, and God became close to God, and they can reach true consciousness selfishly. He says, I spew you out of my mouth. He says, he's going to send you back here to learn your lesson, go through the eternal divine path, and it is not, this life is not just meditate and escape it and go back to the to God and say, you will come back. If you suicide, if you do euthanasia, you will be back and your suffering will continue until you learn your lesson. You know, if there is a suffering, you have to accept it, you have to bear it, you have to go through with it to the end, and then, of course, you have borne your karma, you learn your lesson. Of course, the moment you learn your lesson, of course, you don't have any karma. Look at what is the lesson here to be learned. What is the lesson? Why is the suffering? Why you have reached to the point that you don't want to come back? You want to, this be your last lifetime. And according to our teaching, there is not such thing as the last lifetime. You have, as God said, the first will be the last, and the last will be the first. It means the person who reached the pure consciousness, they're going to come back. Until everybody goes in, before they can go in. The first will be last. So the first begotten son, even not allowed to go in. He has to come back over and over, and he's going to be the last one going to go in. So if we realize this scriptural truth, then you realize that it is not time to long for not returning, but progressing, understanding, realizing, and learning the lesson, and getting a little karma, so the next lifetime you will not be put at the same situation. You will not be, you know, in a place that you long, you know, to go away and never come back, but you come here with the joy of helping others to create the commons of light, going to do the eternal divine path, and reaching pure consciousness. Because if you create the commons of light, so many people will reach salvation. Okay, and actually there is a place in India that they have a special places that where each person reached, you know, pure consciousness or salvation. Of course, that happened before the Kali Yoga in the Golden Age, and that's what we are trying to return humanity back to the Golden Age, so they can again reach, you know, salvation through their self-realization. So don't long to not to come back, but learn your lesson. Meditate to see what is it that have created the situation you're in. Change your situation. You know, go to a place that, you know, it's more helpful to your spiritual progress instead of standing place that make you unhappy and not happy. So the goal of the life is to become divine. The goal of the life is to become perfect. And escaping is not a part of life. You have to face the life face to face. You have to face yourself face to face. The ability to look at yourself and say, what is wrong, what is right, how I can improve. And if you have a suffering or a disease or something, it makes you suffer, you know, you by meditation realize why it came to you, and never suicide, never give up. Those two words came out of my mouth when I started the mission. Never suicide, never give up. And that is the, should be guiding light for everybody in the mission, that we are not an escapist. You should not long for end of life, and you have to face the life with a brave face and be discerning in your progress to our realizing what is it that created this longing for not wanting to be here. And then, of course, understand God wants everybody engage themselves in creation of forms of light and following of the eternal divine path. We hope that you change your mind and and realize that God is with you, and your life worth every ounce that is there. And we pray that you would not, you know, do anything that is not godly, and realize that God is with you always.
Hello, Maitreya. There's a question here. What scripture says that God's love is unconditional?
There is none. God loves unconditional is for your soul, for your essence. Okay. He unconditionally loves your essence, but he puts condition on your ego. Okay. And then actually when he's angry, inside he laughs. You know, because he knows his anger to you seems, you know, terrible and you don't like it. But inside him he knows that you will progress, you know, after you overcame your anger and unhappiness because he didn't do what you want him to do for you. Or he didn't do the way you expected him to react toward your expectation. So, therefore, he always puts condition. He says, you know, actually, Ten Commandments is a condition, isn't it? He says, if you do this, then you are following the Ten Commandments and the conditions I put in your life. The 15th Commandment is a condition. Okay. The rituals he gives you, even the Ten or Divine Path is a condition. You have to follow a path in order to reach pure consciousness. That's a condition, you know. But your essence, he loves unconditionally. Because your essence is one with God. It is him. It's just like, I don't like my finger, you know, I'm going to cut it off. You can't. It hurts. You know, you love your finger, but if your finger is diseased, what do? You might even put some alcohol in it, which hurts, you know? But you know, after alcohol is put there and it kills the germ, okay, your finger will be okay later on and you become greater part of your body. So God's love is unconditional for your essence, and he loves you with no condition if you purify yourself and become closer and closer to him. Because actually there is less condition on you as you become more purified and closer to God, and you are free because you put the condition on yourself. You know, because the more you become the essence, the more you follow the laws, God's law. Some people say, oh, you don't need to follow laws, you need grace. Grace is the law. Okay? The moment you have the grace, you follow the law and Ten Commandments with no thinking. Did Christ have the grace? Yes. Did he follow the Ten Commandments? Yes. Because he had the grace. They go hand in hand. You know? The grace and the law are one. The essence and the law are one. The moment you become the essence, you know why he said, don't do those things. Because your essence knows anytime you know those things that God said, thou shalt not do, you will fall to ego, you will fall from, you know, oneness, you become separate. Therefore, we can see that the commandments of God is something that if you reach higher consciousness, you follow them with no problem. And if you follow them, of course, you go to higher consciousness. And God put condition on ego, on subconscious mind, on impurity of humanity. But yet in their essence, he put no condition because their essence is the law. The essence is the grace. The essence is the oneness with God. How can you be God and not follow the Ten Commandments? How can you be God, not follow the 15 commandments? So we can see that unconditional love only applies to your essence, but your ego is conditioned. Because your ego separates you from God, and the whole idea of his commandments is to bring you back to Godhead. So we can see that unconditional love, again, is misunderstood, is not applied correctly. You know, I love you unconditionally if you have the biggest ego in the world. Okay, that is a bad kind of unconditional love. Okay, that is not godly unconditional love. I love your essence because your essence in God, but I put condition on your ego. Okay, and your ego has to go. Okay. Then, of course, when you go there, of course, I have no choice. I have to love you unconditionally. Go ahead, Tara.
Okay. Thank you, Maitreya. Would you speak on the difference, if there is a difference, and what it would be between a prophet and a Messiah? Thank you.
There are many prophets in the Old Testament that they have come with a specific message, just like Jonah. You know, he was commissioned just to go to one city and give them warning. And of course, he said, "No, God, you got the wrong person. I'm not the one to do that. I'm not going to listen to me and all that." And he started going, you know, to the opposite side of that city. And of course, God made the people in that ship that he was in to throw him out, and a big fish came and swallowed him and brought him right in front of that city that God wanted him to go, and threw him out in that city, and he realized that he has no choice but go and listen and give the message to that city. First of all, it shows when God wants you, you have no choice. You know, you have to do His will. Yeah, that's what in this mission many times I said, if you have a choice not to be this mission, then you don't belong to this mission. You know, that. But if you have no choice but to be in this mission, then God has called you for it, and you realize that you have no choice, and you are a part of it. And second, you know, that God can give message to many people as prophets to come and give the message. Actually, Jonah is the only prophet that people who took the message to them listened to him. Every other prophet was crucified, stoned, you know, ignored, and many things. So he is the only prophet, after he didn't want to do it, went and told people, and God told them they have to become godly and turn around from their ways, and they did. So he was a prophet, but he was a Messiah. He was not anointed. He was not a person who had been prophesied to come for a long time, and then God sent him with the backing of all the prophecies. And Messiah is Messiah really means anointed one. And of course, according to one of the brothers that came here and went through my genealogy, apparently the Messiah will not come but from the children of Abraham. And that is either from Ishmael or from Isaac. And the genealogy of every prophet goes to Abraham. And God has promised Abraham that he will bless all nations. And he has, because all the prophets and great souls came, and Messiah came from his lineage. You know? Of course, I did not realize this myself until this year, around 6-8 months ago. You know, the revelation was enough for me that God has brought to humanity a great message and unified all religion, as telling them how He sent each of them separately, and now they are complete and one, and now they put them together. The message is that only one path and our teachings. But of course, a brother came and he says, "No, it has to be, you know, a genealogy." And of course, we went and found out, yes, indeed, my genealogy goes to King David, and from King David, of course, not only King David, also Prophet Muhammad, and both of them, of course, related to Abraham, Prophet Abraham. So Messiah apparently has to come from that lineage, and there are a lot of people from that lineage. Not only from that lineage, also he has to fulfill the prophecies of his coming. And of course, no other prophets has fulfilled as many prophecies as you can find it in our website. It's amazing how God made it so clear this time that this is it. This is His word and His message. And therefore, a prophet can be a messenger. That bringing a message to humanity can be very small, it can be big, but the true founder of great legions and the greater messages only come through the Messiah, only come through the one who has been prophesied to come, anointed, and is from the lineage of children of Abraham, and also, of course, those messages is going to be seven, the seven seals will be revealed to humanity, and when the seven seals come, even that ends and finish, and any prophet come from now on, is not going to bring anything new. They might come as God's messenger to bring man back to the ways of the eternal divine path and creation of the communities of life and the kingdom of heaven on earth if man goes astray from the path and start bringing ungodly thing in the God kingdom. So there will be prophets coming from now on, but I don't think there is going to be any Messiah come, because that's it. You know, the seven seals is open, seven revelation is come, and that is the end of the plan of God. The Messiah is a messenger, but he is more than just messenger. He has to fulfill other criteria also to become a Messiah. He has to fulfill the prophecies. He should be from the lineage of Abraham, and also his message should be based on the words of God. He cannot come here and say against God's word and then say I'm still in a Messiah. Actually, he can't, you know. He just can't. It's impossible for him not to, you know, not to say the word of God. So that is the difference between a messenger. That we will have prophets probably coming in the future also, that they will emphasize and clarify and bring in a greater degree the comings of light. We will have many seers, we will have rishis, we have mahatmas, we have brahmans, we have great souls that are waiting to see they manifest themselves in the mission, in the comings of light, help the mission to bring the comings of light together, and that's what I'm waiting for. I'm looking for great souls with no ego, but absolute, you know, openness to God's words. You know, they do not let their ego come and direct people's attention to themselves, but direct their attention to God and His revelation and His truth and how He has helped humanity to come to this point. And those great souls are there. And there are some, of course, great souls that, you know, they need a little nudge, and they have a perception that they are great themselves, but they do not realize how great God is compared with their little greatness. And of course they will progress and they will become great souls, and I'm looking forward to seeing many, many of them in the mission, and they are there and they will surely be manifest and manifested. So there's a difference between the anointed one and being having just a message. Go ahead, Luke.
Yes, Shalom, Adrian. My question is concerning the sons of God. It says in the Bible that the sons of God came unto the daughters of men. Now, these sons of God, were they in pure consciousness?
No, they were not. They were the sons of God. They were very close, and they have overcome a great deal of their lower nature, but not quite, not completely. And that is what they failed. You know, they became attached to the world and came to earth and took, you know, worldly wives, and eventually they apparently failed. And they actually connect man to themselves instead of guiding them to God. And that create beings that now a lot of people are following. They become more important to their follower than God himself. And that is the false prophets and false teachers. They have a lot of powers, they have a lot of understanding, they have a lot of, you know, revelation, the truth, but they don't have the whole truth. They don't connect you to God, they connect you to themselves. And that is a sign of false prophet and ego. Ego loves the rush of being in the center of attention. Okay, and they take that rush as the grace of God. but the grace of God is steady. That's why if you study the Bhagavad Gita, it says, you know, the person who is in true consciousness in Godhead is in having a steady mind, and it doesn't go up, doesn't go down. It's not a roller coaster. You know, if you get, you know, elated for a while and then you're crashed and you cannot function, then it is ego that get that urge and make the mistake of that euphoria as the grace. So you have to be very careful, you know, again, what the scripture says about the grace. And the scripture says very clearly, it's a steady mind focused on God and His revelation and His work, and He did not waver off that goal. And therefore, the sons of God who came to earth and they failed are again an obstacle in the path of man, and they have, the man have to realize that they have to go to scripture, to the word of God, to His revelation, to the seven seals, not the brotherhood, not the people who channel many, many beings, but God's word. Okay? And those who have fallen, they are the fallen angels, they are fallen prophets, they are fallen teachers, and again, the only way to become the Son of God is to overcome. That's what in the Revelation, if in chapter 20, it clearly says, those who overcome become my sons. You know, there's no longer you can become son before you overcoming. You know, before that, they were son of God, but they had not completely overcome. Now you have to overcome. Those who overcome become the Son of God, as Christ was the Son of God because He overcame. You know, He would not, His eyes would not lust, His hand would not, you know, betray Him, His senses would not betray Him. Okay. And that is how you become the Son of God, and such a person would not fail, because the senses cannot pursue him to fall. And they are the true sons of God, and many people are called to become Son of God, and whoever overcometh become the Son of God. Go ahead, Luke.
Okay, now this Son of God must also come down to earth and go to the eternal divine path in order to go to pure consciousness. Is that correct?
Yes, that is the path to pure consciousness. Eternal divine path is the fastest, easiest path to pure consciousness. It is easy because it is easier to meditate and progress in the calmness of light. It is easier to see your ego in the calmness of light. It's easy to be in an apartment or in a house by yourself and you say you are wonderful, you know. But when you come in a community and you interact with the spiritual people who are working on themselves, because they have worked on themselves, they can see through you much easier, and they can point out to you where you can progress in a greater degree. Therefore, you accelerate your progress in the comings of life in a greater degree. Then, in the coming, you have to, you know, sacrifice. You can't be self-centered and selfish and always think, what is in it for me? And the people say, look, it's not only all about you, it's all about the community. You have to give in to the community and all that. So you learn how to share, how to give, you know, some of yourself into it. And then after that, you have to not to be attached to the result of action. Who doesn't want to be, you know, not attached to the result of the action? We do something for someone, we always want to be praised and mentioned and told, you know, you did a good job, and be fed in the bag. And now we are asking, no, don't be attached to the result, and say, okay, God, thank you. You know, I did my job, result of yours, or even let God do it through you and not get any credit at all. And before, even after that, you become universalist and shatter all normals of the mind. So we are really asking the human to go against the nature of man, okay? To go back, to turn around, and to be baptized. And yes, those fallen angels also have to come and go to the eternal divine path, and every human also have to go to the eternal divine path, that eventually many people will return to Godhead and return home. Of course, apparently, like, I'll be back, you know, forever, until, you know, the end time, and we will teach this teaching again and again, and those who are elected and selected and are people who are here to help humanity to go back to Godhead, they also will be returning again and again, and we will working together, and we will progress to with each other to back home, and eventually there is not going to be any fallen angel, and there is going to be an end of that original energy that created this universe. If then that the end comes, of course, the universe will fall back to itself, and those who have not this true consciousness, they're going to be in a cold, dark universe for a long, long time. So it's not something you can just, you know, say, well, I eventually get there, you know, I can go slow. There is an urgency that when the universe folds up, you know, are you in pure consciousness? Are you in bliss? Are you with God? Or are you in a cold universe that there is no creation and there is, and your ego is going to be falling itself and become a warp star? Okay. So it is a march toward bringing the whole universe back to pure consciousness, and apparently eternal divine path is the fastest way to go. And that's what God is trying to send to humanity for the last 12,000 years and try to make humanity to go through before that. And now it's here. Man is very powerless. He has only two eyes. His third eye is closed. They cannot create much of a problem for God or universe. They are powerless because they have just completely physical body. Many people think physical body is the truth. That's it, you know. But those who have opened their third eyes, they can see, no, physical body is just a part of the creation. And therefore, the message is yes. Everybody has to go there. No, there is no other way. No other person, no other way, no other religion, no other revelation before this will take you to pure consciousness. None of them. None whatsoever. This is the only truth, the only revelation, the only, you know, message that will help you, your neighbor, your nation, the humanity, and the universe to return back to God. No other person, no other revelation, no other things will work but this one. Because God said so. He sent this revelation with the clear proof, with the clear revelation, with clear message, with clear backing of all kind of, you know, prophecies that you cannot doubt it. You will not doubt it if you really are open, even the slightest, to the truth. And this is it. And if humanity don't see this, then they are blind. They cannot see. Their ego is too big. The ego is in their way. No, they cannot get over their own ego. If you cannot get over your ego, you cannot see God. So, in that sense, yes, you're absolutely true. Everybody has to go through the eternal divine path. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. In meditation, when one reaches a certain level of meditation, does one get into contact with the sons of God in any way?
Anything that is manifested, anything that has shape, form, test, touch, is not the essence. So, if you start to astral projection or see beings in your dream or in your journey in astral body, they are still have manifestation and are not the essence. The essence doesn't have any manifestation, doesn't have any sound, any touch, any sight. The essence is pure consciousness. It is what Buddha said is nirvana. Some Buddhists say it's nothingness. Really, it's not nothingness. It is something, but it is sure is not any manifestation. And if you see a manifestation, you might need that manifestation to progress in a greater degree, just like Prophet Muhammad saw, Gabriel revealing the revelation to him. he probably needed that, otherwise he would not have started his mission. You know, in that state, he had to see Gabriel in order to believe that, yes, he is a prophet. Okay, in this state, you know, I didn't need, you know, to see any beings. The understanding and connection to the consciousness of God was enough for me to see the truth of what has been revealed to me in a very still, quiet voice that you cannot even hear it, but it's there always. So if anything has any kind of a manifestation, you still have not reached the pure consciousness, but you might have reached the higher consciousness that you are seeing some beings in ethereal level. Even what you see is not real. It is a creation of your own mind to help you a little farther, but if you become attached to that being in ethereal level and you think you have reached the end of it, and astral projection and seeing these beings is the end of your spiritual progress, then you got stuck. You are in end of the a path that is not going to help you to go any farther. But meditating on the universal mantra, going through the process and realizing the essence within you, which is that a stillness between breathing in and breathing on, and realizing that essence, that stillness will take you to the level of knowing God within yourself and progressing toward the formless, nameless, invisible, and eternal. God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. He is fine. And that's what you have to aim for. Do not aim for anything which has a manifestation. The moment you have manifestation, learn a lesson, what that manifestation has to teach you, and go beyond it, go back to your meditation process that they are taught in the PAL Talk, four times a week. There are going to be meditation classes in Tuesday at 2, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7. In the evening, the classes, it's called Meditating on the Universal Mantra, and in that classes, you are taught how to meditate in Hari Om Shri Hang Om Nam Kevalam mantra, and recognizing and realizing a stillness between breathing in and breathing out. And that stillness is the most important part of the meditation. Actually, if you recognize that stillness, you don't even have to use your mantra anymore. That stillness goes on in your life all the time. When you're out, when you're working, when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're, you know, doing anything, that stillness always is with you, which is God. And be still and know that I am God. And that stillness is the essence of all knowledge and realization. And it will reveal to you the truth in a much deeper level than you ever have heard or anybody would have told you, even in ethereal level. And then you recognize that God has been sending this revelation, and the